1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 to 17. Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him that Elijah was waiting for him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" 1 Kings 18, verses 16 to 17. Now this is the second in three discourses, short discourses, on the confrontation between Ahab and Elijah. Now you notice the order, A and E, Ahab and Elijah, not Elijah and Ahab. I say that deliberately. Ahab commences the confrontation. Hear him. "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" That's Ahab's assessment of Elijah. Does it remind you of anything? Joshua chapter 7, Achan. He was the troubler of Israel. And Ahab's view is that Elijah's in the same boat as Achan. That's the assessment that Ahab makes of Elijah. He looks upon this prophet, this preacher of the word of God, this man who stands for God and proclaims the covenant of God, the law of God, the prophecy of God. He looks upon him as a troubler. Now I would say to Ahab, look in the mirror, my friend. Look in the mirror. Who's killing the true prophets? Who's boosting the false prophets? How many have you got here? 450 of Baal and 400 of Asherah. Oh yes, you're providing, feeding. Verse 4, you're feeding, you and your wife, the false prophets, and you're destroying, killing, annihilating, exterminating the true prophets of God. And the prophet of God here, Elijah, the chief prophet, you'd look upon him as a troubler of Israel. Look in the mirror, my friend. You're killing the prophets. You're boosting the false. You're guilty of idolatry. You're breaking the law. You're breaking the covenant God made with Israel at Sinai. It's you. Look in the mirror. Blame yourself. You're showing a stiff-necked contempt for Elijah, for God himself. Through Elijah, in his word, you're deriding him, you're mocking him, you're accusing him, and you're passing the buck, you're blaming Elijah when it's really yourself, Ahab. You resent the word of God. You resent the messenger of God, and you're kicking the messenger because you don't like the message and you don't like the one who sent the message. I'm talking about Ahab, my friend. No, I'm not. Oh, of course I am. But I'm talking about us, my friend. I'm talking about me. And I'm talking about you. Oh, yes. All of us, by nature, are in the same boat as Ahab. We have the same heart. We have the same resentment for God. Where do I get that from? Well, I get it from Romans 8. And I get it from 1 Corinthians 2, amongst other places. What do you mean? The natural man thinks the things of God, the spiritual things, the things of Christ, the gospel, are foolishness. The natural man hates God. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 8. He hates God, he hates his law, he hates his gospel. He hates his cross, he hates his good news, he hates it all. That's the natural man, and that's Ahab. And that's us. That's me. And that's you by nature. Hence we need the provisions of the new covenant. Ezekiel 36 and Jeremiah 31. What do you mean? I will give them a new heart. I will take away the heart of stone. And I will give them a heart of flesh, a heart to love me. A heart to obey me, a heart to love me. That's what we need in the new covenant, and God gives it. Jeremiah 31, I won't write my law out on stone. I'll write it on their hearts and in their minds. I will give them a love and understanding and appreciation of it. It's what Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Unless you've given a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind, you will always hate me and hate the gospel and hate God. They hated Christ, and he said they'll hate you, and they'll hate my word. They've hated my word, and they'll hate yours. And it's true. It's true. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need the Spirit of God to regenerate us and to bring us to submit to Christ. You need it, my friend. You need it. Let me show you the madness of Ahab here. Let me show you Ahab's madness. I go to my doctor. And she says, well, I'm afraid the blood test we've had shows you're a bit low on this and you're a bit high on that. We need to do something about it. And I say, no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. Tell me everything is all right. Don't tell me that one reading is a bit high or one's a bit low. I don't want to hear that. Well, I've taken your pulse too, you know, and there's a slight irregularity there. I don't want to hear it. Tell me it's normal. I've measured your blood pressure and, well, it's a little high. No, I don't want to hear that. What would you think of me? What would she think of me? She'd think you haven't got blood pressure trouble. You haven't got blood test trouble. There's something wrong with your mind, man. What's wrong with you? You have these troubles and you don't want to hear. Well, sinners have itching ears. They don't want preachers who tell them the gospel. What do they want? They want what they want to hear, what they would like to hear. Smooth things, soft things. They want preachers who will give them sugar and soft soap and candy floss. They don't want the gospel. They want food. They want fun. They want pleasure. They want it easy and smooth. They want light things. This evening I'm preaching on Luke 2 in my series Watershed of the Ages. And I'm coming to this one. Glory to God and peace on earth. It's the announcement of the angels to the shepherds when Christ was born. Fear not, he said. Glory to God in the highest, they said, and on earth peace, goodwill, and so on. You see, that's the glory of the new covenant. Fear not. Glory to God. Peace and goodwill. And sinners are so mad. You are, my friend, if you're not in Christ. You're so mad, you hate it. You don't want to hear the good news. You don't want to hear that you are a sinner and you need to be converted. You don't want to hear that you're on the road to damnation and only Christ can save you. But this is the best of all news. Listen to it. Without Christ you are ruined, but in Christ you are everlastingly saved. You see, the unbeliever is just like Lord Melbourne. Remember Lord Melbourne when he said to Queen Victoria, "Ma'am, that's why I don't go to church." Now he was talking in terms of Christendom. "Ma'am, that's why I don't go to church." What was he saying? I don't want to hear bad things about me. I don't want to hear difficult things. I don't want to be told what to do. That's why I don't go to church. Now, I'm not saying about going to church. But you know, that could be said about sinners. They don't want to read the Bible. Why not? Because it will tell them they're sinners. They don't want to hear a faithful preacher, whether he's in the pulpit or in conversation. They don't want to hear the truth. They want smooth things, easy things. Ahab, you see. You're the troubler of Israel. Oh, my friend, this is a very serious word. But in love and mercy I speak it to you because God in love and mercy tells you this. If my GP didn't tell me my blood pressure was high when it is, if she didn't tell me my pulse was wrong when it is, if she didn't tell me the readings of my blood tests are wrong when they are, she wouldn't be kind to me. If my garage man doesn't tell me I need new steering, I may not like to hear the news, but if he doesn't tell me, he is the troubler. You see, have I troubled you this morning in this discourse? Am I troubling you now? In what way? Are you offended by what I say? Then look in the mirror, my friend, look into your heart. We're all sinners by nature. But hear the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. Repent, return, and I will receive you, says the Lord. Now come back to him. I plead with you. I urge you. I press you. May God bless this discourse to us. Let us learn from Ahab. He's there in Scripture for our learning. May we not copy him. May we not go in his way. May we turn the opposite way and cling to Christ, run to Christ, flee to Christ, and know that however hurtful it might be to know that we are sinners and under the wrath of God, this, if it brings us to everlasting salvation, is the best thing that could ever happen to us. May God awaken sinners by this discourse. May he alarm them. So like the jailer to Paul and Silas, may people be crying out, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? How can I be delivered? And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.